Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning into the Business Alchemist, where we believe in serving with spirit. I have a special guest here today who I was introduced to through a very close friend of mine. So I'm excited to have this conversation with you today and get to know you more. I have Maria Carpenter here. She is a business strategist, mentor who helps people develop thriving relationships with their work and purpose, which is super aligned with what we do here. So thank you so much for being here, Maria. I'm excited to dive in today.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Thank you, Jackie.
So before we dive in and unpack, off recording, Maria and I already started the conversation talking about how business and personal, it's really the same thing. But before we dive into all the fun stuff, take me back to when you had what I call and many people call your awakening. What was like that moment for you and that transformation like?
Yeah. Okay. So my big moment was in 2015. We had a tragedy in the family. My brother was killed in an armed robbery in Johannesburg, South Africa. And it was obviously life-changing for all of us. But I had no idea how that would catapult me on a path that was not in my plans. At the time, I had quite a successful consultancy, and I was developing operating models and strategy transformation documents and all these great things for big corporates in South Africa. And I say quite successful, but it was super hard. I had two small kids, and my husband had a debilitating disease at the time. So I just kept taking on responsibility. Oh, don't worry, I'll do that. And I'll also work and I'll do everything. And so I was working like 1-2 o'clock in the morning, and then so exhausted, but successful. And then my brother dies. And now I'm like, why was I doing this again? The motivation just disappeared. I was like looking for it. Where are you? Come on, come back to me. I have to get up. I have to work. And work was actually a way that was one of my coping skills. When I was stressed with my personal life, I would become an absolute workaholic, and that would calm my nervous system because I'm good at this. I can do this. And now I couldn't even access that. And worst of all, I couldn't access joy. So then I started, I got exposed to the most incredible teachers, starting with Abraham Hicks. And I was like, oh, thank God. I knew it. Life's supposed to be fun. I knew it. I forgot. I did forget, but I'm back on track. And my family, when I was growing up, was like, one day you'll wake up and you'll grow up and you'll realize life is hard. And when my brother died, I was like, they were right. I was wrong. Life is hard. This is just the pits. And now we're going to just do this over and over every day, and then we'll die. And then, yeah, that's life. And so then Abraham came into my life, and I immersed myself, Jackie, like the CDs, the books, everything. Immersed. I said to my husband, right, we're going to Alaska. Yeah, we're going to Alaska. We're going on a cruise. We're going to go and check this Abraham out, and it's going to be amazing. And he was like, okay, cool. And then I was called up on stage, and I was like, this is just amazing. And just having so much fun. And then I managed to like really destroy my life again, because I wasn't embodying this work. It was very peripheral, superficial. Life's supposed to be fun, so I'm just going to always be happy. That's amazing, and life's going to be great this way. But there was deep sadness and trauma from before my brother that I'd never faced and hadn't addressed. And so I had another dark night of the soul, and yeah, it was very ugly, not attractive at all, and so much growth and so much learning through it. And yeah. That's a very long, long story about how it started in 2015, and the teachers, the list of teachers has just continued to grow. So it's Joe Dispenza, it's Gabor Maté, Ram Dass, Muji, Sadhguru, just these incredible teachers. And what I found was that they all say the same thing. So as a strategist, I'm always looking for patterns and for a formula to help me remember things quicker and to help people understand what's going on in their businesses. And I developed a framework out of all of these teachers' work. To help me and to help my clients. And yeah, it's been awesome. So now I teach that framework to women. And the more I teach it, the better I get at embodying it. I don't know if you feel that about yourself too, as the in like the more we teach it, the more we're like, oh yeah, now I get it more.
You know, first I want to say I'm so sorry about your brother. You know, a loss is always tragic, and we never know or understand why. You know, I lost my mother very suddenly. She was way younger before her time. And mm-hmm. I always like to think that they're meant to be our spiritual warriors. So wait, mm-hmm. in the human 3D physical plane, we may not understand, but spiritually maybe they're our warriors and they're always with us. But I do want to say sorry about your brother. But you said mm-hmm. a few things that were so interesting. So, and I've noticed this with a lot of people, but I'm going to specifically point out the feminine masculine balance, right? Most feminine women, we do throw ourselves into work when our feminine feels like she has to put up a guard, would you say? And that we go into work, put that wall up, and now we don't have to be so soft anymore. So would you say that's one of the patterns the feminine does? And if so, what's another way the feminine can heal without being too much in her masculine?
Oh, that's lovely. That's a lovely insight. So we feel, so work has an element of safety for us. And you're not feeling safe, and the feminine has to feel safe in order to be her most creative. And normally you get that security through the masculine. And in the absence of that at home, you may turn to work. Yeah, that's very insightful. What I didn't mention as part of my story is that I have 6 brothers. And I'm the only girl. And I've spent most of my life in tech. So very male-dominated environment. And I'm just feeding into your words. I think there is a lot of truth in that. So another way to feel safe, for me personally, my favorite tool at the moment, which I fear will be a lifetime commitment, is called water therapy. It has been life-changing. So for me personally, it was nervous system dysregulation that has been with me my whole life, which many people, and I think lots of women, and when we say trauma, there's trauma with a big T and trauma with a little T. So it's not as if you have to have had extreme trauma to have this pain or stress stuck in your nervous system, which the nerve endings on your fascia. So it's actually a physiological reason. But I didn't understand all of that. So when I was doing mindset work and following Abraham Hicks, and I was doing all this thought work, but what I couldn't understand is why I couldn't make it stick. Like, you know, you write an exam and then you've learned the work. Jackie, why does it not like go into my body and stay there? I passed the exam. So when I was, we moved to Cape Town almost a year ago. Before that, we were in Cyprus, and Cyprus is in the Mediterranean. It is warm in summer. The ocean is beautiful. In summer, it's like 7-8 months. It's just beautiful. We thought, we want to stay by the ocean. Let's move to Cape Town. Cape Town is not in the Mediterranean. Cape Town is cold, exquisitely beautiful, but cold. And my husband kept going to swim every day and throughout winter. And I was like, this time, I know I need it. I want to commit. And that's all he needed. Do you commit, Maria? Do you commit? I need your help with discipline. And he's like, no problem. His eyes just lit up. We went into the cold water. I swore at him. I had such a physical reaction in that water. I so desperately wanted to get out of my body. And I see that now with clients. The feminine is so, like, we here, we out of our body here. So that's why we can work and we can tolerate so much, because we're not actually experiencing it. We're not here. We're not present. So we're over here at work. No one's demanding, Jackie, I know you're distracted. I want you. I want all of you right now. I just want your presence. No one does that typically in a work environment. And that's what makes work easier. But at home, your presence is demanded, especially as moms. And so, okay, you know what? It works a lot easier than dealing with you right now. And oh, I've got an email. And oh, I've just got to check my phone for something. Because in that moment, I could just do this. Nobody wants anything from me. So when I got into cold water, I absolutely hated it. And that's how I knew I had to stick to the commitment. And I took it slow. I only committed to once a week. And it took about 6 months. And there was such a dramatic physical difference in me. And the most notable was not getting frights as easily. Very itchy, scratchy. Like my kids, my husband love giving me frights because it's so easy. You just have to like walk in the room. And that dissipated. It's completely calmed. And even my fear of crime in South Africa. Cold water is a miracle. It's a natural miracle available to all of us.
You know, it's interesting you said what you just said, because it's true. To be feminine means to be present and grounded. And most of the times, I always like to say that we have a heart, like we have a human body. And I like to say our human body is just our vehicle. Like, and we take on this identity, right? And when spirit, the feminine, you know, aspect of spirit asks us like, hey, like, be present with me right now. We don't know how to slow down because the world around us is so fast paced that being feminine and going within is almost frowned upon or feels foreign because we're trying to keep up with, you know, this masculine world that the 3D kind of is. It's it is a distraction in a sense because we've been taught to be masculine our whole life. You know, I say that critical thinking is a form of programming. If you think of, you know, I always say the school system programs us. It does.
Absolutely.
Problem solve. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. Great. Mm. But in life, sometimes you have a problem. You may not have a solution because you're not supposed to. You're supposed to be in the mystery, in the present of the experience of, okay, I'm in this. How do I get in this? How do I make sure I don't get in this? How do I feel this? What energy drew me to this? Right. So
lovely questions.
So I really feel that when people learn the masculine and feminine, they'll understand the dance. Right. So, and it's interesting to me, and I'm going to ask you this. When I think of water, I think of the womb. Feminine energy. So it's interesting to me that the feminine always finds herself back in the water.
Wow.
So
it is interesting. It's the fluid. It's so fluid. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And water takes the form of whatever shape it's in. Yeah. And so we find our way back to the water. I've got these cards, medicine woman cards. And the card I picked was go back to the water a week ago. That's very interesting that you say that. Yeah.
So what would you say to someone maybe listening, right? Especially a masculine, because, okay, we understand that the feminine is feminine, but the masculine has to have a feminine side too. Otherwise, he is too masculine. So how does a masculine man get comfortable with his feminine energy, especially because we're going to start tying this into business? Every individual has to learn the balance. So let's say there's a masculine listening to this podcast right now. There's nothing feminine about me. How important is it for a masculine to accept his feminine side?
So it's very important for all of us, just to vice versa. So we need both. I do think, my personal opinion, Jackie, is that we all have preferences. So my preference is feminine. And I am in a female body. And I think it's important to acknowledge your preference and to honor it and not try and be something else. And there's an awareness that comes with, oh, I am trying to be something else. Okay, well, what does it mean to be what I actually am and to live my preference? And the words feminine and masculine have so much charge. So if I was a man listening to this, I may be a bit put off. I don't want to be a woman. I want to be a man. And it's the narrative that comes with those words. So for a moment, can you suspend those definitions and those understandings, mister, who's listening to this podcast? And think of it as, so how I explain it to my clients, the masculine energy is like this chair that I'm sitting on. It is this, it is so solid. When I sat in this chair, I had no fear of falling on my ass. It was no fear. I knew the chair had me. And that's masculine energy. The chair, masculine energy has got you. It's structure. It's process. It's saying, it's process in the form of structure. It's giving you the solid, it's the lines around the rugby field if you're watching the World Cup at the moment. That's the masculine. And me sitting in here, I get to like just relax. I know the chair's got me. So I can try different positions. I can get a bit creative with how I can't really see myself because I've taken myself off the camera. So I'm hoping I look really good for Jackie right now, like this. And I'm like, oh, that doesn't feel so comfortable. I'm going to try something else. I can do all of that because I am safe and solid in this chair, which is the masculine. And when you understand that, I did come to realize that a lot of male execs were quite drawn to working with me. And a lot of the reason behind that was because they wanted to bring out their feminine energy and they needed help with it. And because I totally understand the masculine, so because my brothers in the masculine world say, I see you and I honor you. You are fantastic and amazing. And here are some other options for you. What if you were so creative what if you felt free to be the creative version of you that's in there, to be able to take decisions that are assertive, but knowing that I might not be right. And maybe there's another way, and maybe there's some options that I could play with. So it's bringing in the play. And when you talk about these metaphors and bring in playing with your kids, do you understand that playing with your kids, there's some creativity and you've got to be imaginative. I find that men are more open to talking about, okay, now what did you say again, Maria? I'm like, sacred union. Now you've got the two concepts. Now we're going to bring sacred union in. And they're like, okay, we're going to have to start from the beginning again. But it is beautiful when you can acknowledge your preference and then work with the energies that make the most sense to you.
Now, you said one of my favorite terms, sacred union. So
sacred union.
What does sacred union mean? To anyone, someone could be listening and be like, okay, I've heard that term, but what does it mean? So what do you think is the definition of a sacred union?
I think it's exactly that example with the chair and me being able to play in this chair. So the sacred union you have within yourself when your masculine and feminine energies are allowed to play in flow together. The masculine has its role and so does the feminine. In my relationship with my husband, And so why I started within yourself is because you don't have to have a partner to have sacred union. But the sacred union between myself and my husband it's the most profound, most impactful relationship that I've ever had. And why was because we had this dance for the time that we've been together. I was so strong when we met and I loved how strong he was. That was so attractive. Until it wasn't, because now I'm like, no, I'll also play the man. We can both be the man in this relationship, just when it suits me, because I actually want to be a woman. And it took a lot of work and understanding the role of a man for our relationship. It's this and that beautiful role of creating a space that's safe for me and my kids. And I bring my skills and the feminine in this environment is the nurturer. So he keeps us safe as a family and I bring the nurturing element and then you bring these two energies together and it's this beautiful, it's like you are individuals and together you're one. It's like you're an individual and also you're part of something so exquisite. And you can only get there when you do appreciate both sides and the different energies. And I mean, this is a much bigger conversation. I don't know how you feel about it, Jackie, but I think that we've been fed a bit of a virus about masculine and feminine roles. And it took me a while to recognize it for myself because I was like, I'm independent. I don't need you. You know, I choose you. And that should be very romantic because, I mean, I was told that you actually should thank me for saying that. I don't need you, but I choose you. And then to come to a realization where we have slowly and methodically been eroding the men in our worlds, their self-worth, through this, we don't need you ever. we don't even know why you're here. Mm. It's like, oh gosh, I didn't mean that.
Call it the matrix. I can get woo-woo. So we're on the same page.
Me too.
It is true. It's if for anyone listening, yes, this, you know, we talk about business and we talk about spirituality, but to understand business, you know, as you and I were talking offline, you have to understand the way the world operates, right? Or let's take it a step further, the way source operates, right? Because ultimately we all are connected to source. And when we understand how source operates, we understand if source is operating, something could be operating against source, right? Mm-hmm. Which, you know, they don't want us to know this ancient wisdom. They don't want us to operate in this dance, because if we start dancing, we start raising the frequency, which ultimately, again, it's operating against source. So let's dive into business, because again, we can tie this to manifestation. We could tie this to, you know, energy. But in business, the reason energy is so important is because I like to say, because you know, Abraham Hicks, and, you know, we're meant to come here not only to show people it's possible, but that energy within us to show ourselves, like, hey, we are here to manipulate energy and live the life that we fully desire. But how do people do that in business? So let's say someone's listening right now, and I have a lot of entrepreneurs who listen to the show and they love spirituality, and they're like, listen, I've been trying to meditate. I've been trying to do everything everyone tells me to do. I don't understand energy. What is like the first step for them to take off the veil? Because we don't want to tell them another meditation. We want them to take off the veil to see the world differently. What would you say is a way to unveil them?
To unveil them. So if they're trying meditation, they have done a few things already. So I spend a lot of time on the energy of why. So first is to explain, why are you trying to meditate? Is it because you saw, because your friends are doing it? Is it because somebody told you there's this new app and you should try it, it'll change your life? But why? Why does it change your life? And step one is to explain access source and what it would feel like when you are tapped in and aligned. So having this conversation with you, it's a tapped in process. It's so source is flowing between us and you could feel it. It's sometimes when you're talking, I get like, oh yeah, this resonance. And for me, that's the feeling of source. It's like, yeah, okay, cool. Oh, what else is she going to say? And is it Jackie or is it source? Oh no, wait, they're the same thing. Yeah, it can be so much fun. But typically when working with corporate clients, all clients from business, analytical, fast thinkers, I use epigenetics. So I explain and teach the concept of epigenetics, specifically Bruce Lipton and his experiment from the 60s, where he explains that he had three petri dishes. It was one stem cell, it divided 30,000 cells, and the environment signaled what the gene became. And they get it. And they understand that. So they're like, okay, so the environment signaled the gene. And then I say, okay, yeah. Now the environment also signals the outcome. Can you see how that works? And then we go through a process together. And then I have real life examples of when I did this with tech teams and how I changed a tech team based on changing the environment. Never calling it culture, because culture has a charge. People have this understanding of culture. It's like, you must do this with culture. And this person said this about culture. And I'm like, forget it. I'm going to talk about the environment, your body. Is an environment. Okay. Now take that concept and let's slap it onto life. Okay. So what are you bringing to the environment at work? And then when they understand their impact and how the environment signals the outcome, then you say, all right, then they ask me, so how do I change my environment? You meditate. They're like, oh, so that's why I'm meditating. I'm like, yeah. Or go jump in a cold bath. Yeah. Go cold therapy. Go do it. And now they start understanding the practices that they need to do and why they're doing them. And that's very much in this that framework that I told you about earlier. And it's mindset, process, and chi, life force energy. And you bring those three energies. So it's the energy of belief, the energy of expectation, and then life force energy. And so, but always starting with epigenetics, because I always wanted to prove that my woo-woo thoughts had a basis to the likes of my brothers, who are like, good story, Maria. Tell somebody else, you know. And I was like, no, but this is true. This is true. Let me tell you. And so bringing in the science is how you can help these entrepreneurs get them on board to say, okay, well, what else have you got?
So let's say someone's listening and they're like, I don't understand what meditation is. I can't still my mind. I don't know meditation. How would you explain meditation to someone who's never meditated or maybe has meditated, but they're not able to still their mind, which I don't even believe that's what we're meant to do. I think there's different forms of meditation, which I'm going to let you say, but I know you will. So how can someone listening who's like, I don't understand how meditation could help me. Let's start at the basics. What is meditation?
So there are so many different types of meditations. You spot on. For me, meditation is a feeling state. So you want to get to this feeling state. And the feeling state is it's complete surrender. So it is a surrender of thoughts. It's surrender of self, but it's the ego self, so that you can actually get to what's under. A lot of my clients present with ADD or ADHD symptoms. Now, either it just so happens that only they are attracted to my work, or there is this explosion of ADD and ADHD diagnoses happening to people in their 40s in South Africa. But yeah, that's not true. Sorry, it's the whole world. Okay, yeah, right. Not just South Africa. But they come to me and they'll say the same thing. I can't meditate. I've tried it. I did this and this and I can't meditate. I'm like, okay, tell me what you did. Okay, go. Now, sit for 10 minutes and follow your thoughts. It's one of the hardest practices to do because you don't want to actually see your thoughts. But it's follow your thoughts. And so the metaphor is, imagine you're the sky, your thought is a cloud, and it's passing you by. Can't attach to it. You're the sky. I can't grab the cloud. Just watching it, let it go. When your mind wanders, and it will, exactly what Abraham Hicks says, come back. Just bring yourself back. So the meditative state, how do you know you're winning? That's the question. How do I know I'm getting it right? You know you're getting it right when you get to like an enjoyment feeling, because there is an enjoyment feeling. There's this feeling of, it's different for everyone, but you feel the sense of calm come over you. And you're not punishing yourself sitting there. You're not going, has it been 10 minutes yet? Please, God, let the alarm go. Please let the alarm go. I can't believe I'm here. That's punishment. Do not do that. Get up. Go do something else. Do not force yourself to be in that environment. You want to get to a state where the meditation stops thought. The only way I can do that is by following something. So I must follow a sound. I look for a sound. If I'm very stressed, I find it very difficult, and I will do a guided meditation, and that'll be to a specific song. There's certain music that helps me. But what I want to do is I want to stop myself thinking. So my definition of meditation is there's a feeling that is attached to it, and it can be a very blissful feeling. And the experience is I'm not attached to a thought.
That is so powerful, because, you know, it is true. If you constantly are trying to meditate and your thoughts are running, and now what you're doing, and I find it interesting because I like to make everything a metaphor, right? If you think about our body, right, everything is connected, you know, neural pathways, they send signals, right? So if you attach an emotion to that thought, you just created something bigger than the thought. Yeah. You created an emotion, which now is going to supercharge your frequency. And you're not going to be able to meditate or get to that blissful state because you connected to the emotion of the thought. Yeah. Where you watch it like clouds, you kind of the junk of your mind, and then the blissful state come because you're not attaching emotion to the thoughts, which is powerful. Mm. But let's take it even a step further, because there's bliss. Then there's intuition, which feels like bliss too. So someone listening, they're like, you know, I meditate, I feel blissful. And my intuition, I think it's my intuition. What's intuition? And how does someone know it's not their own desire? Or maybe sometimes, you know, sometimes when you get into a blissful And this is where ego is interesting. You can get into such a blissful state that you feel like everything is your intuition because now you're the highest almighty, right? So how do you know what's intuition, really intuition versus our own desires?
So I do think if you have action and your feeling state is really high, you're high vibing and you have, I'm going to do this, I think you should totally do it. It's always back to how your feeling is. What is the feeling of when I, so if I'm acting out of fear, yeah, that's not a good sign. It's not a good action. When it comes to deciphering, so am I just happy and this is a good idea? This feels like a good idea. Or is this intuition? Did this drop in? And I do think that the collective, our vibration has gone up a notch. It's my belief that the whole collective, all of us, the whole Earth's atmosphere has risen in vibration. And a lot more people their gifts are coming online. I don't know if you've experienced that, if you're seeing, there's a lot more people who are able to tap in, people who maybe they're just speaking about it more and their intuition is being shared. Are you seeing that?
I do feel that the collective is awakening. I think that's what we're here for, because this is a spiritual battle, you know, not to get too into what's happening, because I try, you know, I'm someone who, I hope I don't butcher it, but there's something called the Maharishi effect that happened.
Maharishi effect, yeah, stunning, yeah.
It happened so many years ago based on frequency and intention when a large group of people held their frequency and prevented, you know, something from happening that could have been tragic. So I try not to, as I consider myself, let's say, a light worker, right? So I have the awareness of what's going on, not the emotion attached to it. Because just like in meditation, if I attach my emotion and get upset, fearful, angry at, let's say, politics or what their agenda is, I'm feeding. They're winning, right? So I do love that the collective is waking up, right? But for me, I would love to see the collective stop giving the energy to what's happening. So I try to shift away from it. But with everything that, you know, we're discussing now, do you think that we are in such a pivotal moment in time spiritually that we're all meant to awaken at this time? Or do you think it's just, you know, what is it? Is it unveiling? Is it supposed to be this way? Like, what are your thoughts on the current state of the collective?
Big question. I'm like, how honest do we want to get here, Jackie? So my thoughts, and it is still linked to your previous question on how do you know if it's your intuition or not? It's a feeling state. So I think that the collective, a lot more of us are aware of how important our emotions are. I mean, growing up as a little girl, there was no insight to, how are you feeling? Because that's a good sign. You know, if you can interpret your feelings, you're winning at life. What? No one ever said that to me. There was no research into understanding feelings and let your emotions be your guidance system. That's all quite new in the world. But there's so many of us that are tapping into this understanding. And with that understanding, we know ourselves better and we are operating at such different frequencies because we understand the importance of frequency. So I think that the collective right now, I don't think everybody's going to wake up. I think, and I think that that's also beautiful. I think that a lot of people will wake up and there is this unveiling process. And the ones that choose not to, it's a choice. And I don't know if you follow Bashar. Do you know Bashar at all? He's been coming.
Channels?
Hey. He's one of the channels, yeah. And he's got a very interesting take on it. He says, you keep asking me, like, who's going to be left behind? And he's like, it's already happened. He says, what are you waiting for? Right, it's happened. And either you're at 5D or you're 3D, but you're in the same place, but you just see things differently and you see different things because your frequency is different. So what if, you know how dogs can hear sounds we can't hear? Like a dog can hear a really high-pitched sound from far away and our ears aren't made for that. So what if as our frequency raises, like the sounds, forget intuition. What if our guides are talking to us nonstop and they're like whispering in our ears? And then the higher your vibration gets, the more you're just like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You can have like a whole conversation with them because they've always been there. Your frequency was just too dense. You were in the thick of things in 3D. And as you elevate your frequency through different practices, through changing your eating, changing your lifestyle, through meditation and a life of devotion, you know, your frequency is uplifted to talk about that Maharishi effect, boy, because now we've elevated up to this high. And a lot of us are doing it at the same time. Whereas at the time of that Maharishi effect, it was just, there were a lot of people, I think they went to Washington, and changed the crime statistics for an entire city. It's just like crazy, crazy stuff that they did. And that was just one city and one group. But what if there are like millions of us around the earth doing it at the same time? It's like, who knows what's going to happen next? Like, who knows what's going to happen next? And I think it's a very exciting time. And I'm so glad to hear that you see it as exciting and to not, your advice is don't stay in fear. Yeah, you can acknowledge it and see, oh, I see the game, I see what's happening, but I'm going to choose this and not feed that because that's the dance. We can dance when we're here, but we can't dance when we're there. So not everybody will wake up and that's their contract for this lifetime. But those of us that are unveiling, now what? What are we going to do? How are we going to collaborate? How are we going to celebrate? How are we going to, what are we going to do with this world and this life that we've been given? Because now there are no rules.
You know, I want to connect it all for someone listening, you know, because there's a lot of moving parts. And as a connector, I'm going to try to connect it so both of us can send some energy to someone listening right now. So I was reading a book the other day about intuition. And it's interesting how when you take care of your body, you can vibrate on a higher frequency. Why? Because like you said earlier, and this all comes down to business, we're going to connect it. Because what we put into our body, right, goes in that frequency of that food or whoever even prepared that food, right? Because you don't know who prepared that food or what frequency, what intention they had for you, you or whoever consumes it. And this is how deep it is. If you're listening, this is how deep it is. Yes, this is all frequency, right? So when you want to vibrate higher and you want to grow your business or you want to manifest, whatever it is, it starts in these moments because your body is its own system, right? It has its own connectors inside. So when you start eating cleaner and being able to discipline yourself, you know, I always tell people, and if you hear my podcast, you probably heard me say this a million times, and Rhea, I'm sure you're going to agree because you just said it, you know, what if our guides are always talking to us? Well, how many times do our guides say us, eat cleaner, drink more water, right? And that to anyone listening, that is a message from higher consciousness. Like, hey, you're dehydrated.
Right? Eat clean.
And if we can't listen to those little moments, we break the communication with the guides. So, if you want to, you know, improve your environment, as you called it, your environment starts with your body, the environment.
Absolutely.
So are those some steps you give your clients? Like, let's say a client comes to you, like, are those some of the steps you do recommend, like start taking care of, you know, your health? And are those part of your program?
Absolutely. For sleeping, eating, fasting has now started to become one of our practices that we're starting to embrace. I'm a bit hesitant to say it because whatever practices I teach, I have to have fully embraced them. And I've only done a couple of fasts and I think they're absolutely awesome. And I'm studying more. But I have been hesitant because with that comes a commitment. And my first commitment is to stop coffee. I'm so not keen to do that. It's like one of my biggest resistance points. I'm like, yes, I fast, except I still drink coffee because there's no milk and no sugar and that doesn't count. And I just feel like a bit of a fraud. So absolutely take care of your body. And my husband and I, we stopped alcohol in 2019, December 2019, just before COVID. It was an interesting time that our guides instructed us. Now's a good time to do it. We're like, okay, cool. This is a great idea. And it's actually been incredible, that shift. And we were already eating quite clean, predominantly plant-based, and removing gluten and sugar and the usual suspects that cause inflammation. And diet is hard. But through diet, like if you look at me and you're like, I am never jumping into a cold, like we swim in the ocean here, it's pretty cold. So no one's that keen to join us. So, okay, don't. But then let's talk about your food. Because you can use food to change your mind, just as I use cold water to change mine. So I jump in cold water and I do it, and I come out after 10 minutes and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm such a badass. If I can do that, what else can I do, Jackie? I'm like, wow, talk about confidence. And the same with fasting. If I can stop eating for 48 hours, sheesh, and I didn't die. Oh my word, what else can I do that I thought I couldn't before this? Mm. And so I use food as a tool, and eating clean, I don't prescribe specific diets, not even plant-based or I cook meat for my kids every single day. We have different meals, one for Steve and myself and one for the kids, where they're like, we never want to stop meat. That's absolutely fine. Those are their choices. What we do, though, is we talk about loving what you eat and loving what you drink. So sending positive vibes to the water before you drink it, saying a prayer over your meal. And that can really transmute any of those energies that you spoke about that were handling your food. We have tried to stop all takeaways as a result of thinking about frequencies, because have you ever been into a kitchen of a fast food place? It's not high vibing, typically, not always. There are some high vibing, I'm sure. I haven't seen them yet, but I'm sure they exist. It's quite a stressful environment, and that's going into your food before you eat it. So just say a prayer. Thank God, thank Source, thank every single hand that touched this food and bringing it to your plate. And it's created an environment with the kids and with us at home where we want to consume everything with love. And everything we produce is made with love. So for the business entrepreneurs that are listening to this podcast, that's one of the things that I am most looking forward to with this 5D shift in the collective, where everything that we consume has been made with love. Can you imagine? It's going to taste so good. And that high-fiving frequency is going to come into our bodies, and our bodies are going to automatically just be like healthier and stronger and happier. And then everything we produce for each other is going to be made with love. It's like just love, 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 love everywhere.
You know, it's interesting that you said fasting. Yesterday was Yom Kippur, and
yeah,
fasted. And I set an intention before the fast. And even when I had like 5 minutes left to eat, I was like, I cannot break this fast because I set this intention.
Yes.
I cannot, like, even when it was like 7:29, because I was able to eat at 7:30, it was like 7:29. And like my logical mind was like, come on, it's 60 seconds. Who's going to know? And I'm like, no, it's the
spirit. I will. Yeah. Yeah.
It is the point that here I am making a promise to Source, or even myself, Source.
You are Source. Yeah.
Fasting. So I don't know if you and I are going to become fasting accountability buddies, but.
Okay. Okay.
I loved the experience so much because the last 20 minutes of the fast, where I knew I was getting closer to the food, I actually wanted to extend my fast.
Yes, it's like a disappointment.
I was like, wait, I'm really disciplined right now. Can I go for more? But it was something spiritual that was like, you could do this. Yeah. And I felt so close to God, Source, any term someone's comfortable with, those last 20 minutes. Because I was like, I wasn't breaking the fast. I didn't even drink water. I mean, like,
wow.
I didn't have coffee. And it's interesting. So is that, you know, because I'm new with the fasting thing. You said you've done a few fasts. So how did you feel when you were fasting, and how is that? Because I was actually Googling this yesterday, like, how is spirituality and fasting, like, how do we hear the guides more through fasting, Source God. So what was that experience like for you?
Wow, it is amazing that, yeah, okay. So I was raised Greek Orthodox and in the Greek Orthodox Church, and we fast every Wednesday and Friday, but that means no meat products. You still eat. So I was very shocked later in life. Sorry, busy. That's the bar of water. I don't know if you can hear it. It's quite loud. Yeah. No. Okay, great. So when later in life to discover that fasting actually meant you don't eat anything, I was like, oh, is that what Jesus did? Like, for 40 days? No, that's just a story. And then my husband started working with fasting. He actually cured himself of that disease that I mentioned earlier, and he used food as, well, I think, the biggest portal, one of his tools for curing himself. And so I saw this guy, Jackie, and he fasted for a few days, and he still picked up the kids, and he still did sports. And I was like, but that's not possible. Human beings are not supposed to go a day without eating. So I was quite curious. And then I did a whole lot of research. It's like, turns out 2 weeks, people do a water fast for, I think, for 30 days, like on purpose. And they do drink water, though. They don't stop all liquids. So I undertook it for one day. I said, okay, 24 hours, let me see what happens. And it was the most beautiful experience. It was during COVID. And at the time, I was heading up a digital team for an insurance company in South Africa. And everything was on Teams meetings, but like at least 8 hours a day of Teams meetings. And the screen is here. You know, I had a standing desk, so I was even closer to the screen. And I finished meeting, and I'd want to eat. Be like, I'm going to go to the kitchen because we're at home. It's lockdown. Oh, I'm fasting, yeah. I'm not actually hungry. No. Why did I want to go to the kitchen? I was trying to regulate my nervous system. So then I could see how I needed a break from the room because it had been so intense with these meetings. And later they did this research. The research came out saying that these Teams and Zooms meetings were so intense. And we are not supposed to be that close to other human beings unless we're fighting with them or in an intimate relationship. So the body is conditioned to, okay, well, this isn't a serious, this is, she's not attracted to these people at all. This has got to be a fight. And it was nonstop. And so I was using food to help me. And in the absence of food, I now had this realization. I could now hear. So there was, and you said you're Googling it, and people say that through fasting, they can hear. And it's this experience of, now you want to talk about intuition, because food becomes a noise in your life. It's a distraction. Okay, I finished eating. What's my next meal going to be? Or while I'm eating this, I'm still thinking about my next meal because I don't want to mix this food with that food. I want to eat this now. And it's like your whole day is kind of a ceremony towards your food, even without realizing it. Mm. And to take it out, now what are you going to do, Maria? How are you going to distract yourself? You're not snacking. You're not doing anything. It's just going to be water and you in the office. And I'd calm down. There was the sense of calm that came over me. And that's when I started realizing, I don't know if you know the work of David Hawkins, Letting Go.
I believe I've
Do you know his name?
But not very.
I don't know. So the work that he does is to explain how to release feelings. You just have to feel them instead of trying to go around them. So you have a thought, there's an emotion that comes up with it. You don't have to go see a therapist. You don't have to go and speak to that person to tell them how that made you feel. You do all the work yourself inside your body. You feel it. You shine a light on that feeling and you feel it until it burns. It like burns out. And fasting helped me do that. So yeah, now I've actually just talked myself into fasting again. Thank you so much, Jack.
Together, because I really enjoyed it. So if you're listening to this podcast and, you know, you're an entrepreneur, you have to understand how to connect the dots through source, through what Maria and I are saying here today, is everything is your frequency. Everything is energetic. And the more you can keep your frequency, or as Dr. Joe Dispenza calls it and many others, but specifically he's really known for, you know, your energy field, right? Mm. And I always tell people, so if you're listening right now, draw an invisible circle around your body and just understand your human is in the middle of your energy field. And the things you put into your body, the food Rhea and I are speaking about today, you know, everything that you put into your body will supercharge your energy field, which is this circle around your human vehicle, which ultimately, guys, is a vehicle. And when you're able to do that and be present, right, with yourself, with those emotions and everything you're going through, then you have awareness of what you're feeling and why, and what you're bringing into other environments, whether it's your work environment, your relationships, what are you bringing into them, right? And what you're thinking about them also. So I know you have a mastermind as well that I want to talk about. You have the Fearless Female Mastermind.
Fearless Female, yeah.
So let's say there's a woman listening, because we spoke about male entrepreneurs. What's the female with the Fearless Female Mastermind? And I know you said this on your Instagram, so I'm just going to ask you this before the next question. What's your definition of a fearless female?
There's so many adjectives to add to the fearless female. So I think that a lot of us are not fearless and are striving to, not necessarily knowingly, but to live a life where we are fearless. And a fearless female is somebody who sees where she is, wants to change, and does, without knowing how it's going to end. So it's that stepping into the unknown that Joe Dispenza talks about all the time. So the magic is in the unknown. And you step into that unknown fearlessly, because sometimes it feels like a little bit of a push, because you're like, can't get worse than this. And I'm like, okay, just come. We'll change that. We'll work on those words. But okay, let's try it. Let's give it a go. But the fearlessness comes in. Well, okay, I don't know, but I trust. Let's go. And what the mastermind does, it works on, there's four strong outcomes, and that's clarity, confidence, significance, and fulfillment. And those were four things that I was searching for. And what I really wanted after my brother died, and later in life, where I just felt like everything just feels so broken in my life. Why? And I feel so broken. And then clawing my way out of that darkness and looking around and saying, did I choose this? Did I choose this? Did I choose this? Did I choose this? And going through that process that we all end up doing at some stage of our lives, where we wake up to the realization that I didn't choose any of this. That's a bit of that awakening moment. That unveiling is that moment where you look around and you say, how much of this is actually real? How much of this is through advertising that was through my childhood and kind of nurtured me as the unknowing client to get me to the state where I really want the Land Rover. I really want all these amazing things. And I'm like, but I don't. I had all those things. They didn't make me happy. And it's like, but then what else is there? What is there? What is there? And so the program, a lot of women have come to me over the last year and a half, and they want to move. It's moving in career, moving in their business, or moving in their marriage. And this mastermind actually works on don't change anything. Don't change your career, don't change your business, and don't change your husband. Just change yourself. And then when you are in a happy state, and happy also, there's different definitions for happy. When you're in a high vibing state, higher than what you may be when you're thinking about swapping your husband. But when you're in that state of where you're back in your body and you've got a regulated nervous system to just have clarity of thought, and you are clear about your vision, so your vision for the future, what you want and why you want it in your life. And in that energy, now what do you want to change? But not when you're angry and fearful and all these bad, like very low vibing states, and then making a decision from there. Sometimes they can be quite powerful decisions, but they can be, especially when it comes to safety, absolutely. When you're angry, when you're feeling unsafe and you want to feel safe, you can make some pretty powerful decisions in that state. But these long-term decisions that have got far-reaching effects, like career changes and what to do with your business, to get a partner, to change a partner, to expand, what do I do? But I'm so scared right now. I don't know what to do. So that's what this mastermind was designed for. And it's designed specifically for women. Because, Jackie, the truth is, I really love men. And so I really wanted my work to be unisex because I've always had men enjoy working with them and they enjoy working with me. So I thought, yeah, maybe I can change the story and show how great we can all work together. And so I created this community. It was actually previously called the Workplace Miracle. It was like quite a cute little woo-woo, but not too, still talks about a workplace. Okay, it's a bit of a mix, interesting. Got all these people to join. We were doing this great work. We were messing around. It wasn't great work. It was, yeah, just a messing around community. And then I was working with clients one-on-one. And an executive female client asked all my clients for testimonials. And my male clients love it. No problem. I did this work, personal development. Look at me. I loved it. And I mean, I've just got amazing clients. But this female executive, she said, I can't let people know. I was like, what do you mean? That you were working with me? Is it me? Did I do something wrong? She's like, they created this role for me at work. If they know how I'm struggling and I need a mentor after I fought for this position, what will they say? And sure. And then I was like, wow, that warrior energy boy. I'm gonna go into that business and I'm not gonna do any of that. But I had this like it was this feeling of the injustice that she's been made to feel this way. And when that settled, this idea came, and it was guided intuition. It wasn't out of anger, and it was very joyful. Work with just women. And then I did not trust it and spent hours fighting with source saying, no, I'm unisex. Remember, I'm supposed to work with men and women. Then I even asked friends to make the decision for me because I didn't like the decision. I didn't like it was just going to be women. It's like, but that's not my brand. That's, you know, I don't know. I'm not comfortable. And then it went full circle. And then it was kind of like just before launching, it's like, it's just for women. This is what's going to happen. And it just has to be this way. It was amazing. The first cohort started in May. It was so powerful. It was so incredible. It was nothing like I could have imagined because there was this honesty and rawness, this vulnerability that happened in the circle of women. And you hear of circle of women all the time and it's like, oh, that's sweet. It's very cute. But it's real. And it's this woman, a group of women who've just met and they're going, I want you to win. I really want you to win. What are your dreams? Yeah. In fact, what did you say on your Instagram? Let's change that word to goals. What are your goals? Yeah. Okay, cool. We are going to support you. We're going to encourage you. We're going to make sure you do it. And you're going to do the same for me. And so there's the circle of encouragement. We celebrate together. And then we also hold each other accountable. And yeah, it's just beautiful. Yeah, it's very beautiful.
I love that so much. So much. So if someone wants to, you know, well, we will have it in the show notes. So, but if someone wants to, you know, be part of this mastermind after listening to the show, what is the best way for them to contact you? Is it through your website, your social media?
They can do either or. The website's got a form that goes straight to my booking page. And so they can book time with me. There's also a form with a few questions on the Fearless Female page. And yeah, the questions are lovely. They'll make you reflect, and just the questions can help you have a shift. So that would be the best way, is through my website. And so we're about to start one now, which is the end of September, and then the next one will be in February.
And my final question that I love to ask everyone, yes, take a deep breath because here it comes. So with everything you know now, and I love this conversation because you're someone who definitely knows a lot, because even when we were talking, there was an energy happening. With everything you know now, what would you tell your younger self?
Jackie, you must be very good, because I often stumble over that question and I know exactly the answer for the first time ever. So to your listeners, this is an amazing moment for me. Without a doubt, I would look at little Maria in her eyes, 16-year-old Maria, not even that little, and say, you need to feel. You need to feel. Yeah, feel those bad feelings, the shame, the guilt, the disgust that you have for yourself. And before I'd be like, and I'll tell her she mustn't worry about this. And this wasn't her fault. And there's none of that. It's just saying your feelings are beautiful. They matter. Feel them. Feel those feelings. Feel everything. Feel them. Stop running from them. Yeah, that's what I would say. And that's where the magic lies. And it sounds so simple. Just feel your feelings. But it's not. I mean, if it was, we'd all be doing it. We wouldn't be sick because we'd be like healthy human beings.
We're arguing with each other, trying to get validation or a response from someone, you know, whether significant other or friend, you know, okay, what I'm feeling, because I'm feeling it, but you got to fix it.
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
I love that so much. Well, Maria, thank you so much for coming on the show. And I'm certain we're going to be fasting accountability buddies.
Yay. Awesome.
To have you here.
It's been such a privilege to be here. Thank you so much, Jackie. And your podcast is, it's lovely and spectacular. And I am so looking forward to watching it continue to grow.
Thank you so much.